Welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Brindle. First, I want to thank you for listening in and know that you mean so much to me. I am a wife, mom of three, teacher, writer, and by nature, an encourager. I'm here juggling life and all that goes with it. That's why I want to spread a little faith and encouragement on your good and maybe not so good days to lift you up and onward. I'll be here reminding you that with God, nothing is impossible. And as you take your next step in your journey, I am filled with excitement because wherever you are, you will be encouraged. Welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Brindle, and you're listening to episode 123 with guest speaker Jessie Seneca. Jessie is a breath of fresh air, you guys. I got a chance to meet her through our friend Heather Yopa, who was on the episode, the past couple episodes, and she is just a light. I'm so glad that I was able to connect with her and read through one of her devotionals. Ooh, I'm just going to put a shameless plug in here for her, but it's called "You, Mama, You Be the Difference, a Bible study for moms by moms." So if you're looking to try a new Bible study, I really recommend any of Jessie's Bible studies. She just really speaks to the real raw moments of motherhood anyway. And I know that there's no doubt that she speaks to the real raw moments of just being a person walking through life and battling life as it comes with ups and downs. So I really recommend her devotionals. Go ahead over to the link in the show notes and you can learn more about her and More of Him Ministries. She's a founder of More of Him Ministries, along with being a well-renowned Christian speaker, a mom to two beautiful adult women, and has wonderful little grandbabies and been married for a long time now to her wonderful husband. So I will tell you what, if there's anyone you need to glean from, Jessie is the person to go to. But she also speaks right now of going back to when she was 27 years old and she got a diagnosis of Cushing's syndrome. And that's when her babies were really babies. And now it came back. It came back and surprised her a couple months ago. And it is not a good surprise. If you ever feel that way, where you feel like the hard reality is not the surprise that you were hoping for? This isn't the news that you were wanting. This isn't the news that you were like excited about. And now it leads a lot of unanswered questions and uncertainties in your life. Well, Jessie speaks to that, the uncertainty of the time that she's in right now. But also on the flip side, she speaks to hope as it is a pivotal time to see it as an opportunity. And I love that because we can walk through uncertainty and we can live in the fear and the bitterness and frustration and self-pity, or we can cling to Jesus, who is the answer to it all. And she seems to take it more of, not that she doesn't sugarcoat this hard road, because she'll tell you it's hard, but over the past few months, she's learned something that breeds hope into this uncharted waters, this path of uncharted waters. And she's realized that it's better to take it as, look at it like an opportunity rather than a hindrance in her life. So if you are walking through a battle and you are a fighter, let me just say, this one is for you guys. This is for all of us who just battle and fight and need a little courage in our life to take that next step in the unknown. So whatever you're facing today, I know that you're going to be encouraged by Jessie. It's time to saddle up, in her words. As you'll listen in, you'll get that a little bit more. And I just love it. So we're all going to saddle up together today and or get on your walk or run or wherever you are and be encouraged. Let's go. Welcome, everyone. I think you're in for a really great treat. Today, we have a very special guest, Jessie Seneca. Welcome, Jessie.
Hi, Jackie. I'm glad to be with you.
Oh, I am so happy to be here with you as well. You are just exuding joy from just the tone of your voice, and I can't wait for the people here just to feel that smile that you have on your face through your words and the words of that you're going to say today. And so we're going to get started with our listeners to get to know you a little bit. So I have a question I'm asking all of my guest speakers this year, and it really has to do with the word that of my year, which is joy. So tell us a little bit about what brings you joy, and if there's anything else that you'd like to share on top of that, feel free, who you are, where you're from, and that sort of thing.
Okay, well, wow, I love the word joy, and I thought about what, you know, that question, and there's like different areas areas of my life, right, that bring joy. Like when I think about ministry or I think about family, there's different joys, right? Like I have such joy being with my family and my grandkids. And, you know, I always say grandkids should have come first because they bring you so much joy. But of course it's not going to work that way, but I love being with family and doing all those kind of fun family things. And then I've been in ministry for over 13 years. And I guess with everything that has happened, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about that on the show today, but I think with everything that's happened, I really realized how much joy ministry brought me. You know, with going and speaking and sharing the word of God with other women's groups and churches and things like that, and just traveling with my assistant and, you know, having fun together, right? And that joy. But I was also thinking that all of those circumstances are great. But when you read Psalm 16:11, it says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And really, that's where it starts, is being in his presence. And that brings a joy that then will transfer to, you know, then whatever you're doing. And so, I love that word joy. And I know that that's your word for this year, right?
Yes, that is.
So maybe we should interview you on what joy means. I'm sure you'll bring it out throughout your podcast. But so those are the areas where, you know, I find the joy. First, just being in his presence and then enjoying the gifts that he's given me with my family and with ministry. And things look a little different right now. And I know we'll talk about that in a minute, but joy is something that I have found you have to choose, right? You have to choose joy because not every circumstance is going to be joyful. And some of them are hard, and the trials and that kind of thing are hard. And so you have to really choose to have joy. And so throughout my life, I've had to choose joy just like everybody else has. I know you wanted me to share a little bit about myself. Live in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I'm married to my high school sweetheart of 38 years. And we have two daughters, and they're both married, and we have four grandchildren. And we have so much fun together. They're just a joy, you know, to be around. And so I love walking with my dogs and my husband and friends, and it's just, I enjoy that. I enjoy the walking. It's a little cold out today, but.
Oh yes, I know. It's bitter outside. If you are in the northeastern Pennsylvania or northeastern part of the United States, you'll know it's brutal out there right now in this time of January. So that I totally get. And I love that those things bring you joy. I love that answer, the his presence in Psalm 16:11. I just wrote that down, and it's just a great reminder. And I think it's even going to be an anchor as I think you tell your story a little bit. I feel like I can always keep looping back to that. It's beautiful. As we get started here, though, as we're going to go hop right into the hot seat of the question and the topic today, we're really going to talk about those times of uncertainty and things that we don't expect that happen to us. And there's so many different layers to uncertainty, I think. And we'll just touch on a few of those. But initially, what I think of uncertainty, I think of fear. I think of wanting to avoid it at all costs. Nobody wants things to go in a direction that they don't have planned for, you know. And it can often make us feel trapped. So I'm wondering, is there a time, or maybe right even now, that you're going through a season of uncertainty?
Well, I think a lot of times with uncertainty, what's fearful about it is that we kind of lose control of the situation or our life or what we've been used to. So losing that control is not fun. I don't know, Jackie, do you want me to go back 31 years to when it kind of started? And I'll give a little bit of a testimony to so where we are today, that your viewer or your listeners hear that.
Yeah, I think it would be great to give them some context as to where you're coming from with this word uncertainty. And I think that and how you've battled fear would be really great to know how that's impacted you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we probably have to do three podcasts for this whole thing, but we'll try and do the abridged version. And I was 27 years old when it first onset the disease that I had called Cushing's syndrome. And it's when you have too much cortisol in your body. We did not know that was what I had. You deemed it as like anxiety. And back then, 31 years ago, I don't know. I just didn't really know what anxiety was. Today, we know a lot more about it. And I would be like, well, I usually can get a grip, come on, just get a grip, do it, right? And so when they said you have anxiety, I was, what is that? And, they explained it to me. And I'm like, oh yeah, I get panic attacks. And so that kind of was the onset of the disease, but we didn't know it at the time. And so my girls were young. They were 2.5 and 6 months old. And I ended up in the emergency room of a local hospital. And that was the first time that we had heard the word Cushing's disease. And so we started to, find out a little bit more about it. We didn't have the internet like we have today where you can Google it and, all of that kind of thing. And so you just really trust doctors to what they say. And so long story short there, the anxiety got progressively worse, which ended up landing me in the hospital of a psychiatric facility. And that started a 5-month hospital stay with 4 different hospitals. And the disease is very, it's bizarre. It's a very physical disease. You have the anxiety, you get a thing, your face, they call it a moon face, and it kind of looks like you've had your wisdom teeth out. You can get a hump on your back, on the top of your neck, back area, hair growth on your face, acne on your body, hair loss on your head, sugar diabetes. And I had all of that except for obesity. And a lot of times with Cushing's, you just continue to gain weight and you can go 15, 20 years before they even know that's what you have. But that typically is when the tumor happens to be on your pituitary. And so I had pituitary brain surgery done and there was never a tumor on that pituitary. And so after that happened, I ended up back in a psychiatric facility for about 2.5 months before we got down to the University of Virginia. And I want to share that portion of it, especially because the psychiatric facility that I was in was a regular hospital, secular hospital, but they had a Christian section to the hospital. And they were all Christian counselors. The psychiatrists were Christian. I'm not sure if all the nurses were, but they were wonderful. But they didn't know a lot about the disease. But the one counselor believed my husband that there was something physically happening in my body to be contributing to all of these side effects that were happening to me. And she would come in and she would just pray over me because there were a lot of times I couldn't even get out of bed just to go to the bathroom and come back. And she would just pray. She'd say, Jesse, one day God's going to use all of this. And I would say, really? Like, don't you see I'm laying here? I'm practically dying. I was down, my weight was down because they had me on a 1200 calorie diet with sugar diabetes. And, then they're weighing you backwards and they're doing 24 hour check or 24, like 15, 20 minute checks because of suicidal thoughts and things like that. And she said, I do, but I really think God has a different plan than what you think. And I would just be okay. You know, all I really could say was, Jesus, I love you. That was basically all I could say. I really couldn't read my Bible. I couldn't listen to, well, we just had the radio then. We didn't have podcasts and things like that back then, but I couldn't do any of that. And so my husband found out from a neighbor of the University of Virginia, where they specialize in their endocrine department in Cushing's. And we made our 5-hour drive to UVA. And when we got to UVA and we met with the endocrinologist, they were pretty sure that it was ectopic, which means it's off of your pituitary. And so they redid all testing and everything. And they found that I had a tumor on my left lung that was producing too much of this ACTH that goes to your adrenals that puts out the hormone, the cortisol. Now, you need cortisol to live, but excess amounts of it can wreak havoc on your body. And so they did remove the tumor from my left lung, and I started, you know, to feel better within a few months. I was sent home and started to feel better and feel like a mom again. And, you know, it was hard because I had to go back and kind of feel like I had to relearn everything. And will my 11-month-old baby now even remember, you know, when I left, when she was 6 months old? You know, it was just a really tough time in motherhood, you know, to go back to that. But yeah, so that started the 31-year fight of the disease called Cushing's. And over those years, I had multiple surgeries, 2 other lung surgeries, a tubal ligation because they didn't want me to have any more children. And, you know, that was kind of hard, you know, at 27 to say, okay, that's it, you're done, and we're going to do a tubal. And then about 16 years ago, I had another tumor in my chest cavity, which they removed. And I thought I had been free of the disease because it had been 16 years. And a lot transpired in 16 years with my ministry and family and, you know, all of that. And so when the Cushing's returned back in August of 2022, we were all kind of taken back a little bit. And it really was very difficult because, you know, I'm fully into ministry now. It took 12 and a half years from when that counselor prayed over me. It took 12 and a half years for God to open the door to what I thought, you know, he was calling me into. And we can talk about the weight and all of that as well. But that was hard. And so now, you know, I'm into ministry 13 years, traveling, going throughout the country, speaking at events and organizing conferences. And all of a sudden, the anxiety started to come back extremely strong. And we started back with our doctors, which I can't even believe, but my doctor was still practicing. She's 76 years old. And I told her, you can't retire until we're done with this. And so, you know, we started doing scans and we found out that I had 2 more tumors in my chest cavity and 1 in my clivus. It's the base of your skull. And so the tumors were too close to my aorta to do any kind of surgery. So this time was very different. All the other times we would remove the tumor, I'd kind of go back to normal and, you know, live life. And it would hit hard, but it wasn't like a chronic thing every day I was dealing with until, you know, they removed the tumor. But this time, because of where it was located, we had to go the route of radiation and chemotherapy and gamma knife radiation. And so it's a little bit longer of a process. And we've been, you know, since August of 2022, and here we are in January of 2023. Oh my goodness, I lost a year. 2023, in August of 2023 is when the onset came back. And so here we are now in 2024, about 6 months later, and still working through, you know, the recovery of all of that.
Wow.
And so what was your question?
I'm going to go back into it.
Yeah. So I'm
So what I think all that to say is now you have this, it's coming back. And I'm sure it brings back a lot of memories. I'm sure there's a lot that it triggers back from when you were 27. Oh my gosh, you were just a baby starting out, having your own babies. And what I'm sure I can only imagine for myself. I mean, you know, what that brings up during this time as it's now reoccurring, which you thought you had be. And now, how do you battle this, all the fear and anxiety that comes? So I feel like fear and anxiety, they're such buddies. It's so annoying, you know, like, why do they do that to us? You know, but they do. And how do we live life, try and fight the battle of that fear that can be crushing? It can trap us. I mean, how have you allowed it not to?
Well, I have allowed it to. You know, I think it's only natural, it's normal. You know, you're human being and you think you can live beyond it or above it, but you really can't, because when it hits hard, it's hard. And I went and stayed with my one daughter for a couple of weeks so my husband could keep working. And then I, you know, came back home because she's got small children. And talk about bringing up memories, like being around, you know, my girls now who have babies. And it's like, boy, it put me right back to their age, you know, and having young children and getting sick. And I was like, wow, here we are, you know. And so believe me, Jackie, there were hours where I was crawled up in a ball on the couch with the heating pad and not sure what the next hour was going to bring. You know, my husband was very close to taking me to the hospital, but we knew that that would mean psychiatric at first, because that was really what was manifesting. And so, you know, we started on some medication, and thank God that, you know, but that again takes a little bit of time, 4 to 6 weeks for all that to, you know, start to work. But it did. And thankfully it did. And so you know, I can handle a lot of the physical stuff, but boy, the mental anxiety part of it is very, very hard. Especially when you don't feel like you can read your Bible, that you don't want to listen to podcasts, that you know, you can't concentrate. All you can concentrate on is that moment of getting through the anxiety, right? So it's difficult. And yeah, there were times you feel trapped. And you can have those moments. And even over all these years, you know, I've had those moments where, yeah, do I want to crawl up in a ball? Of course I do. But then it gets to a point where, and I'm even like that now, okay, I'm not what I was or who I was, you know, 6 months ago. I'm not doing what I did 6 months ago, but I'm still alive. God still has given me breath, and I have life. And so am I going to start living it, you know, or not? And so I don't know, it's one of those things you have, those like come to Jesus conversations, and you try to go forward.
I love that. That's so real. It's so authentic. It's not sugarcoating it. When you go through it, you go through it, and it's okay to battle. Like, I think that's the real, I mean, that's what's life, you know? I think a lot of us like to think that everything is a highlight reel. Like, it's, you know, one second you're down and oops, there goes the minute and we're back, you know, but that's not life. There's a process to it, and trusting God is the way to see him. Like, just, I don't know. For me, I think looking at or listening to your situation, it's in those moments of just calling on his name. That's the hope in the moment. That's where your eyes land. And I think all the years of ministry has probably given you some sort of foundation, I would think, to that. You said you couldn't even read your Bible. So how does that even help you, not being able to read your Bible now, but prior being able to read your Bible? How has that part of your ministry helped you?
Yeah, you know, you don't For me, my lifeline was reading God's word. And it happened, many years ago. I was probably around 35. I went to a conference and I was like, man, and whatever that person has, I want, that was speaking. And what I realized was it was the importance of being in God's word every single day. And it's hard at first, it's a discipline that you have to do. And eventually it comes into the desire of your heart, to be in his word and to study his word. And these last 6 months really showed me how important that foundation was of being in God's word, because I couldn't be in his word. I couldn't sit there and concentrate and read his word. And I'm so thankful now. There's so many different ways to be able to be in his word. I may have been a little legalistic in my thinking some years ago, like it has to be for an hour. You have to be reading God's word, or it doesn't mean much, And I know that that's not true. And I knew that wasn't true. But what I've just recently gone through helped me really understand that. Because now I'm not reading the black and white and red, right, of the word. I'm listening to God's word. I'm listening to podcasts. My one friend read a psalm over me, and I listened to that every single night when I was going to bed. And then while I was at UVA having all my radiation and my treatments for those 7 weeks, she read the book of Luke to me, and every night I would listen to a chapter. I just realized, like, there's so many other ways, right, to be able to hear God's word. To me, there's nothing like opening the pages of a Bible and reading that. But we're so blessed in today's generation to be able to do it different ways. Now, I say all that to say, sometimes I didn't even want to listen to a podcast, or I didn't even want to listen to, the reading of the word. And so I would just lay in bed. And what would happen would be I would remember and recall God's word. And I might not have remembered the whole address, John 10:10, which I love John 10:10, but like, okay, I know it's about abundant life. He's going to give us abundant life. And I would just keep saying that to myself. I would say, in his presence is fullness of joy. I would recall all these scriptures that I had studied so hard, and I'd remember them. And that would help get me through. And then I sometimes quiz myself, okay, what do you remember about Hezekiah? What do you remember about Joshua and Moses? And I would do those kind of things. So it was kind of like a trivia in my brain. But it was definitely the foundation. And I thought, boy, if I hadn't had that and all those years of studying God's word and reading his word, like, where would I be today? I mean, I know God can reach us. I know he can speak to us. But what I've learned so much through all of these last 6 months is it's really his presence that he wants us to enjoy, right? And I mean, his word is great and we need it and I love it and it's the foundation. But I also would just lay there and say, I don't have anything to give you right now, Jesus. I'm not out speaking to women. I'm not writing a book. I'm not, I could name all these I'm nots. But really, what God wanted was just my presence in him, right? Being in his presence and just enjoying that. And I think that's really this time around with the illness, has really spoken to me.
That is so beautiful. That is, it's like we talked about the foundation actually in a couple episodes before this recording, in a functional faith-based functional medicine, and we had Jessica Seneca on, and everyone can go back and listen to that. But I loved that in her faith-based functional medicine, she said, prayer, make that a foundation. Like, know who God is as the rock in your life. And then same thing when Heather Yopa and I were just talking in the last episode, we were talking about, believe, receive, and achieve, and how belief is so important, like to ingrain it into yourself of knowing who God is for you and knowing the foundation of who God says he is. He is the vine, right? When we remain in him and so on. And I love to see that despite the fact that you can't read the word of God right now, and yes, you may have to be really creative and to consume it, you know your father's voice. You know him so well enough that in this moment of your life of uncertainty that you're facing, in this period of time that might be excruciating waiting, you still know God's word. And it's almost like this really cool, what I pictured as you were just talking, and I'm just going to go with it here, but what I pictured was the stars in the sky. The Lord knows them all by name, and the constellations we've made up. But I love how I can think of the word of God being all these dots in the sky, and when you start to pin them together, it creates this beautiful shield of faith. It is the sword, it's the armor, it's everything, all the verses, all the stories that come together and create God's faithfulness right in front of you. And all we have to do is look up. And I love that because he doesn't want anything from us. It's not like that. And you just reminded me of that. And I love that you're reminding everyone else. It's not about us, it's about glorifying him. And you're doing that, Jesse. You are doing that even in the pit of the pain and the darkness that maybe you're walking through right now. I think there's more people holding up your arms than you
Oh yeah, that
realize.
whole story of Joshua going into battle, right, with
Yeah.
Moses and Hur, and them holding his arms up, and every time his arms were up, Joshua was winning the battle. But when his arms would fall down, he would start to lose. And so you have this beautiful picture of these two men holding up Moses's arms. So you've got this that is something it, when this all started back in August of 23. That was the thing that I kept saying, I think I know God's giving me a message on this, right? Because I always love that story. But when you see it physically playing out, the body of Christ being there, helping, making meals, sending a text, one person even went to my daughter and said, "Let me watch your kids while you go help your mom." You just see, and it's not just for me, it's for a lot of people watching. And I because I've been in ministry for 13 year over 13 years, I have a network of women who are following that, and they're seeing it. And it's like, okay, here the rubber meets the road. You can go out there and teach and praise God when everything is really, really good, but what are you going to do when it hits bottom and it's hard? Are you still going to praise them? Because if not, the rocks will, right? And so I just had to kind of say to myself, even going to UVA, going to radiation every single day, you revolve your whole day around 6 minutes of radiation. And it's like, okay, I know I'm not doing ministry the way I think it should look, but ministry is wherever you are. Right? Ministry is walking into a grocery store. Ministry is going into the hospital. It's a whole nother world. And sometimes we, look at it as it has to be someone on that large platform that thousands of people are listening to, where it's really individual. And, Jackie, like I took my books with me because right before all of this happened, I had a very busy fall. And I had just gotten all my books, my merchandise, and all that kind of stuff. And I had to shut everything down. I had to get speakers for events, and I had to, stop events and things like that because I couldn't do them. And so now I've got all these books that I'm going to be taking to these events that's not happening. And so I was like, you know what? I'm throwing these in a box. And I would take, I'd take a bag every day to the hospital, and there'd be a few different books in there. And every time my husband would be picking me up, or he would be coming in from where I was at, at the hospital, he would see me sitting there talking to someone, giving them a book, or and so I was like, okay, it's still ministry, it just looks different.
I love that.
So
Yeah, I
yeah.
love that. I love that because it doesn't have to look like everyone else's ministry. I
And it's
think,
mind shift,
yes.
it's just kind of pivoting kind of like what we all did in 2020 with COVID, right? Like you have to pivot or you're just going to be stale and not do anything, right? And so that's what I had to say to myself, you know, as I was praying. I just felt like God was saying, it just looks different right now. And I, you know, this is the other thing with uncertainty. I don't know what my ministry is going to look like in 6 months from now. You know, maybe I'll never write another book again, and that's okay. You know, maybe I won't be out speaking to large crowds, and but I've gotten okay with it because I know that on the other side of uncertainty, first of all, is God. He knows what the future is. And so that's why I just try to keep putting it into his hands. I know it kind of sounds cliche, but I am really living that out right now. I don't know what it's going to look like. And so God does. But also on the other side of, at the end of uncertainty is possibility. And when I say that, I mean the possibility to show God's glory, right? The possibility to show our attitude, to show our decisions, to show our lifestyle, and to show that God's in control, you know? So uncertainty is hard, yes. And can there be fear in that? Absolutely. But this is the other thing. Fear and faith can't occupy the same area, right? Fear and faith. And so the only thing that they have in common is a future. It's the only thing they have in common, the future. And so we have to decide how we're going to walk into that future. Are we going to walk into the future fearful, or are we going to have the faith that God is on the other side of this? And I'm a lot older than you, Jackie, and you know, I can look back on my life. You know, I'm 58 now. I can look back on my life and see all of the areas that God has brought me through. And, you know, it tells us in James, it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And that word testing there is like a silversmith when they are purifying their silver. Right, they would keep taking oh goodness, I just lost the word, the impurities off of the top. They would take that off, and then they would try to see their reflection into the silver. And it wasn't until all the impurities were off that they could see their reflection. Well, it's that word testing is the same as with God. You know, there's all this testing that he allows us to go through, and how are we going to go through it? And he keeps taking those impurities off until we see his reflection in us. And listen, I have a long ways to go, but you can see how God does that, right? You know, just keeps dredging up those impurities and removing them until he sees you. And I look back at my life, you know, when I first thought I was going to be speaking and teaching women. And this is what I want to say. Even in the uncertainty, you still keep doing what you're doing what's right in front of you for that day. And then you look back and you're like, oh, wow, God used this, this, and this to make me who I am today. If I would have done it way back then, it would have been a disaster, right? So God had to get rid of some of those impurities and start to see more of him, right, in us. And that's, you know, that's the name of my ministry, More of Him Ministries. And it comes from John 3:30, that, you know, that he would increase and that we would decrease. And it's a lifetime of God doing that in our lives.
I love that. I love that. More of Him Ministries. I don't know. It rolled off the tongue. It just sounds so sweet, but truly it's you're living that out, Jesse. You are living out having him be more in your life than you, and you're just exuding, radiating his love all over what you're saying and what you're doing. And I love it. I think about Moses too, you know, when he went up to the mountain and he came back down off the mountain and had a message for the Israelites. He had to They were like, Moses, your face is radiating, right? They were like, oh my gosh, like your face is radiating. He had to veil his face. And until then, he went back up because it just was so bright, his face. And I think when you're in the word like that for your most of your life, and you're doing that ministry, and you're doing all the things to encourage others and spend that time with him in the word, you're still radiating the love of God, what he is doing in your life, even if you're going through what feels like the darkness. He is just keeping you, just the putting the veil over top of you. You just have this protection around you, this radiating love that he just spent time with you for so long, and it's never left you. I can tell you right now, I'm looking right at you, it's just so beautiful. And you're right, like there's so much benefit from knowing who God was in your life throughout all of those moments of uncertainties and the waiting. And so now you can take that with you. I think that's just so beautiful, even as if you
You know,
don't.
Jackie, there's one
Yeah.
scripture. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just think it's so beautiful. I love it.
Well, there's one scripture, and I know you're probably going to end soon, but there, it's and it's in from the Christian Standard Bible version, and it's Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5, and it says there, "I sought the Lord, and He answered me. And he delivered me of all my fears." And this is the part, verse 5, that I love, that God showed me years ago when I ended up having to have my lung removed, my left lung removed. And I used to just kept saying, "God, I just want to radiate with you," or joy, you know? And it says in Psalm 34, 5, they looked to him and were radiant with joy. And you know, women, I've known women over the years that you're just like, how did they go through that and still have joy, right? Still have joy. And really, it comes down to a choice. It comes down to a choice. And you can make it better for yourself and the people around you, right? To be a little bit more joyful, or, you know, you can be sad and depressed and upset. And believe me, I'm not saying anything against that, because I've been there, even at daily.
And I like that you said just a little bit ago, you mentioned that you have a choice between in the future to choose fear or faith. And I like that you also chose joy. So as you're walking with faith, you can walk with your friend joy. And I think it reminds me of a scripture in 1 John 3, 5, verse 3 and 4. It says, "For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands, and his commands are not a burden, because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith." And I love to think that we can conquer whatever the world has to face, whatever we face in the world, because we walk with Jesus. And I love that your story, you're walking with him. You're not sugarcoating it. It's not an easy walk. I mean, it's a hard walk. It feels like it's a cold walk in mid-January in Pennsylvania. It's not an easy walk, people. And I'll tell you what, and you're doing it with grace and love and the rawness and realness of choosing faith, what it's like to say, okay, my faith shield feels heavy today. And I love that you're still and not only that, but you're walking it out with your family, your husband, your daughters. I mean, what a testament to your own faith that you've poured into your own family, and now they're able to serve you. I mean, I don't know. That's just such a good feeling to know that. Like, I hope all this hard work of serving my own kids one day will come back around, and it will help me, when
Right,
I'm down
servant
and out.
labor, that's been a really big part of all of this testimony as well, because a lot of my friends have walked, you know, the 31 years with me, and they knew when my girls were little, and now they're like, you know, seeing them as adults and them taking care of me and being the advocate and that kind of thing. And so it really is, you know, it's really great for the whole body of Christ to see that, right? And work together It just and it and it's great for my daughters to see it, you know, how the body of Christ works together. And so it, I don't know, it's kind of a win-win on everybody's part.
I think it's going to encourage somebody today to say, well, how can I be a blessing to somebody today in need, and to be a part of the body of Christ? Because what a great way to glorify Him is to help your friends and help people who might be going through a really hard time. I know. And that's where it starts. It's no small thing to God. You know, I think the meals that people are making and all those things are just so wonderful. And the fact that you even said yes to this podcast, I'm just so encouraged by that, because as you wait upon the Lord, I see that the Lord is even giving you new strength day to day. So tell me a little about, I guess, about that as well. Before we end today, I'd love to know how has, I know the waiting can be excruciating, but how have you seen opportunity within the waiting?
Within the waiting. Yeah. Waiting is tough, isn't it? And that I won't sugarcoat, because waiting is very, very hard, but it also, helps build anticipation of what's going to happen. It helps to develop patience. And I think this time around for me in this whole wait period has really brought to the forefront for me just the simplicity of the Bible, the simplicity of God, right? Because so many times we try to make it so much more bigger than it is, when it really just comes down to how much God loves you, right? And how believing in Jesus, right, brings that salvation to us, and then having the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Mm-hmm. And really, I feel like God is saying, if you never do, and human eyes, and if you never do what you think I think brings such glory, I still love you. You're still going to have eternal life. You're still going to live with me forever. And I think that has really spoken to me through this weight of just knowing who He is and who I am in Him. And if He brings, and I've always felt like this with ministry, I have loved every minute of being in charge of, you know, girls ministry to doing children's ministry, going into women's ministry, working with Truth for Women, you know, doing my own ministry. I loved everything about it. I love it. And it does, like when you're walking in the calling, right, that God, you feel God's called you into, it's an energizing type of feeling. And I love that. But also, will I worship Him in the quiet? Like when it's just me and you, God, no one's watching, no one sees you. Am I still going to praise you? Am I still going to look to you? And that's where that peace really started to come. And I feel it like almost just rest on me, because it's just the simplicity of God loves you. God loves you.
I love that. And that's a message, I think, for anyone today. If you're waiting, it's this, just rest, take a breath, you know, take a deep breath in, take a deep breath out, and just know He's there. He's there with you, and He loves you. And He's got all of these things that are circling in your head under His wing. You dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91. And I love that. And I think it's, a testament of how you will be courageous in the next season, because you've developed such a peaceful strength, in a sense, you know, through the waiting. I think that's resilient. And I know Joshua 1:9 says to be strong and courageous. And, you know, I love that story. And it's almost like this passing of the torch from Moses to Joshua in the way that it's ordered through the Israelites to claim the promised land. And, you know, they faced trials of circumstances that were even seemed impossible. But Joshua positioned his heart heavenward and was courageous. And I love that Isaiah 40:31 reminds us that God's strength and might is limitless. And when we trust Him, we see His promise that we will rise up on wings like eagles. You will, and you won't grow faint or weary. I mean, I mentioned this in the last podcast. It's one of my favorite verses. But we're going to finish this race strong because we have Jesus. And
Today, I want to encourage others to be strong and have courage and uncertain in this time of uncertainty, whatever they might be facing, whether it's uncertainty of what's for dinner or whatever it might be. It's really serious, but I know the Lord wants to speak to us through that word. And I think we were talking just you and I before this about the word courage, and I wanted to mention that word before we ended today, because I think that is the epitome of what you're going through. You're just keep taking steps of courage. And how do you think courage will affect you this year?
Listen, I know this isn't scriptural, but I love it. John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. And, when you think about Hebrews chapter 11, right, the faith chapter of all those people that did things throughout the history of the Bible, like, Moses, Abraham. I mean, you can read chapter 11 of Hebrews and see all of those people. And I remember not too long ago just reading that again, kind of trying to look at it with fresh eyes and being like, you can't tell me they did not move forward a little fearful. Like you, even though, you're afraid, there's sometimes you still have to move forward, right? And you have to do it afraid. And so that's kind of like what, John Wayne is saying, right? Still saddle up, even though you're afraid, right? And it's like that's how it is for us when we have that uncertainty, we have to have that courage that doesn't come from ourselves, that comes from God, and trusting Him with what's around the corner. And I think for me, just all these years of dealing with this disease and the uncertainty, just knowing that what He's brought me through is making it easier to trust Him, right, with the future, because I've trusted Him before. And will it look different? It might, and yes, it probably will. But there's seasons to everything, and so I guess just saddling up. And you talk about Joshua. I love. Oh my goodness, we could do another whole podcast on the courage of Joshua. But Joshua in Joshua chapter 3, he says, like, God, like, I've never gone this way before. Like Moses is leading us. I've never gone this way. And God says to him, consecrate yourself. And the Israelites, consecrate yourself, for God's going to do great things. And just when you said that about Joshua before, and I thought about that word consecrate, part of consecrating ourselves is what we talked about in the beginning of this podcast, being in His word, right? Making that our foundation, and preparing for that, because we never know what the next day is going to hold. We only have today, right? And I know that's another kind of cliche. Today's a gift, right? Live in today. But boy, is it true. It is so true. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So what's my choice going to be for today?
Wow. Oh my gosh, I just want to marinate on the word consecrate. I think when I studied that word in Joshua, I actually went to the dictionary because I'm like, the first time, a couple, like maybe even 7 years ago, I read Joshua for the first time. And when I came across that word, I was like, what does that even mean? And I love that you re-explained it here so eloquently. And it really is this way of like sanctifying yourself. It's this turn to the Lord and repent and to surrender, and he definitely looked at the whole crew that he was with and he was like, y'all better consecrate, like we got to do this right now. And before they even went to battle, before they even he knew the Lord was going to give them the land, but he had told them to consecrate themselves. And I just love that you mentioned that, because I think it's an important piece to our faith walk, is to whatever we are facing and battling before we even hit the floor, with our feet hitting the floor in the morning, is to consecrate and give it to God and make that choice. Like you said, every day is a gift, and to really turn it over to Him. And not that it's going to be full of peace, but we walk with the peacemaker. We walk with the one who is the way maker. We walk with the one who is the miracle maker. And I think that right there strengthens us to have the courage to keep taking those steps afraid. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that. So if there's anything else, any last words of encouragement today that you have To encourage somebody as they face uncertainty. Maybe they're facing the fear, maybe they're facing anxiety, maybe they're facing that waiting period of unknowing what's to come. What is the hope for them today? What is that encouragement?
Well, hope is a good word, right? Just having hope, like how you said that. But that's true. I think we also have to just give ourselves some grace. And I know my daughters keep saying that to me, Mom, just give yourself some grace. Give yourself some grace, you know. Because what we want to do and what we can do sometimes don't coincide, you know. And so somebody who's walking through uncertainty right now, I think just kind of helping bring it back to basics of what's the most important thing, you know, for you in this season of your life. And just knowing that God is always there. He never moves, never, right? We move, he doesn't. And just entrusting that next stage to him, because he all that I've been through, all that I've seen other people be go through, I believe God uses all of that to make us more like his son. And so, you know, do I think this is great what I'm going through or what I've gone through? No. Would I want anybody to go through it? No. But has God used it to draw me closer to him? Yes. Has he used it to show his power and his strength, because it's not in ourselves that we can do this. And so, you know, just trusting tomorrow, you know, into his hands, because he holds it.
Oh God, that is a word for somebody today. A word for somebody. I know it. It's just so good. He holds it. He holds it. The whole world in his hands. It's just so good to remind ourselves of the truth and the foundation of who he is in us and that he's for us. You know, even when it feels like everything's stacked against us, he is for us and that is the truth. So thank you so much, Jesse, for coming on and being an encouragement to us all today. I feel like I could have you on and we could talk
You are
about
welcome.
more of your books and things like that that you've put out there, but I will put a link
Anytime,
in the show
anytime.
notes. Yes, I'm going to hold you
You're
to
easy
it.
to talk to. You're very easy to talk to.
Oh, I'm so glad. I just feel that connection. I'm so glad that God has placed you in my life and we're going to continue to pray for you and see that healing, see it come
Thank
through.
you.
Amen. And we're just going to saddle up in the meantime, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So thank you so much for coming on. And again, I'll put all the links in the show note of where they can find your books and any other information that you have about your ministry, more of him ministries. And I just love that's your ministries because I've read a few of your blogs and I have to say it spoke to my heart, especially just looping it back to what you said in the beginning about his presence. One of the blog posts that you wrote a year ago really hit home about his presence. And that is the joy just to know that we rest in him. And I just thank you so much for coming on and sharing all that hope and God's glory. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been such a blessing, and it's the first thing I've done in 6 months. So it's good to be back in the saddle.
There you go. I love it. We're saddling up together. Well, have a good one and be encouraged, everybody.
Hey, everybody, I just want to pause and say thank you so much for coming into this space week after week, or even if this is your first time, thank you so much for listening, taking the time to be encouraged today. If you feel led, don't forget to go ahead over and click subscribe and write a raving review. Give it 5 stars and fill up my bucket today, too. And if you'd like to check out more about our guest speaker today, click on the show notes so you can learn more about them today. Thanks again, everybody, and have a wonderful week.